So just what is ham sci? We'll find out in this week's Rain Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, with the first excerpt from the 2018 Dayton Hamvention Forums. We begin with a Tapper forum talk about ham sci, the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation. The forum moderator was Nathaniel Frizzell, W2NAF.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Nathaniel Frizzell. I'm W2NAF, and I'm a research professor at New Jersey Institute of Technology, and I am the main person behind starting HamSci, along with a few other people. So what is HamSci? HamSci is a ham radio science citizen investigation. And we're an organization, although that's kind of a loose term. We're more of a website and a listserv, but we have a number of main objectives, and that's to advance scientific research and understanding through ham radio. It's to encourage the development of new technologies to support this research. And that's where having HamSci work with Tapper is really good, because Tapper is very good at developing new ideas and really implementing them. And we also want to look to provide educational opportunities for the amateur radio community and the general public. I really became what I am today because of ham radio. I started in like eighth grade and I just followed it straight through, and it led me to where I am now. So once I became a graduate student and I was working toward my PhD, I really saw this neat place where we could join the scientific research I was doing in school with the whole ham radio community. So we now have many different people who are part of HamSci. We have a Google group, which if you're interested in joining, you can come talk to me and I can add you to that. And we have members from just institutes and universities all over the world. And we also include just members of the general amateur radio community can participate. And so what I'm going to do in this presentation is I'm going to show you a number of slides from different projects that other people are working on, and also some of the things that I'm working on. So there's a little bit of a combination. It's kind of like a smorgasbord of activities. So one thing we have, this is from Bill Engelke, AB4EJ. He's at the University of Alabama, and you might know his website, the DX Display. And so what he's doing is he's aggregating reverse beacon network, WhisperNet, PSK reporter spots all into a single database. I've started talking with him, and he's now incorporating space physics indices from the NASA Omni data set so we can start combining this into what we call the HARC database, the HamSci Amateur Radio Communications Database, so we can start doing data analytics and trying to understand all of this. So that's Bill Engelke's work. Joe Dzekiewicz, K1YOW, he has been working on looking at 6-meter spots, and he's been trying to understand the relationship between weather systems, especially like upper-level lows and low-pressure systems, and the sporadic E, and he's finding good relationships there. He had a really good article in the December 2017 QST, so you can read about that. And now he's been working on some new observations looking at how sporadic E forms on the jet stream and looking at correlations there. One of my friends up in Canada at the University of Calgary is Gareth Perry, and he's not a ham yet. We're still working on him, but he's a researcher like myself, and he has access to this satellite known as Cassiope, and it has an HF receiver on it. So a couple years ago, we had the satellite listen to the HF bands during field day, and he's been doing some research with that. So we have a spectrogram, like a waterfall display that came off of the satellite HF, and then a time series plot of that, and you can read K9 ESV field day right in there. And he actually started looking at some of the oscillations that ride on top of the CW that people were transmitting, and he was able to relate that to some physical processes in the ionosphere. And so this paper is currently under review in Radio Science right now. So hopefully this will come out. And it's really neat that we're starting to see peer-reviewed scientific publications come out of looking at the ham radio observations. John Ackerman talked a little bit about the personal space weather station. This is still just an idea right now. It's not like developed. But the idea is, in space weather, we use tools like magnetometers and radar systems and radio receivers to try and understand what's happening out in space. And so can we develop a single personal package that you could set up in your backyard that would sense many of these different things and help contribute to understanding global space weather through your individual measurements? Kind of like you can go buy a personal terrestrial weather station right now, tropospheric station, and you can plug that in and send your observations to Weather Underground. You get both an idea of what's happening at your location and also contribute to a bigger database.
You're listening to an excerpt from the Tapper Forum given Saturday morning during the 2018 Dayton Hamvention. The topic was HamSci, the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, a major mover and shaker in advanced scientific research and understanding through amateur radio activities. We'll conclude our excerpt from this brief presentation about HamSci by Nathaniel Frizzell, W2NAF, in a moment. I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, and this is the Rain Report. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
This is something that we're looking at developing right now. It's still just an idea. So if you have ideas to contribute to that, you know, let us know. We had the eclipse. So John just talked all about his wideband observations of the eclipse. We have been also doing other sorts of observations for the eclipse. This is from Magda Moses, KM4EGE. She's a student, also one of the people who helped start HamSci. This is observations from the Super Darn radar in Oregon. A Super Darn radar is a high-frequency radar. It transmits between 8 and 20 megahertz, generally outside of the ham bands. It will look for ionospheric irregularities and also look for ground scatter, and you can get ionospheric measurements from that. And so with these observations, she's starting to look at how the eclipse affected the HF spectrum using these research radar systems, and you can see a change in range of the radar scatter here during the eclipse, and she's starting to use ray tracing programs to help model that. And of course, I coordinated the solar eclipse QSO party. I really wanted to do this because I've been looking at the reverse beacon network data for a while, and I've seen a few other QSO parties, but I really wanted to see if we could make a scientific experiment that really felt kind of like a ham radio contest, because I always enjoy contesting, and many other people do too. And so that's what we did. So this is a map of the reverse beacon network observations. All of the color-coded points are halfway points between a transmitter, like you out in the field, and a reverse beacon network receiver, which is a star. So all the black dots are transmitters, and there's 1,184 transmitters on this map, and 49 RBN receivers, and over 312,000 RBN midpoints there. So it's a tremendously large data set around the 8-hour period of the solar eclipse QSO party. I plotted this out, and then I organized the data so that we could see how the bands change relative to time before and after the eclipse. It's a lot of what you'd expect. It's very consistent with previous experiments, but here's 20 meters on top. This is an hour and a half before the eclipse. This is an hour and a half after the eclipse. And then right down the middle is where eclipse maximum was at any particular location. And you can see 20 meters was going gangbusters an hour and a half to a half hour before the eclipse. And then things just died off. And then it came back about a half hour after the maximum eclipse ended. 40 meters, you expect things to start going long in the evenings as you get into gray line propagation. That's what we saw here too. So we had good propagation before the eclipse, an hour and a half before. As the eclipse comes on, you see the typical distance of QSOs go from about 500 kilometers to about 1,000 kilometers. And then when the eclipse goes away, then we get the communications come back into about a 500 kilometer typical range for your 40 meter communications. For both 80 and 160 meters, we saw a band opening. 80 meters was opened first. It opened up about a half hour before to about a half hour after eclipse maximum. And 160 meters, that opened up about 15 minutes before and ended about 15 minutes after. So we really get, from this large data set, we're able to condense those observations down and see some really nice things. So I'm very happy to say that just this past week, these SEQP observations I just showed you were accepted into Geophysical Research Letters. It's a peer-reviewed journal well known in the ionospheric community. And so this is published open access. So you can go to hamsci.org, you can get the link, and you can download and read this paper and see all those figures yourself. So this is really exciting. I think this is really nice showing of where we're actually taking the amateur radio observations and really starting to publish and push science forward.
And that concludes our excerpt from the 2018 Dayton Hamvention Tapper Forum, voiced by Nathaniel Frizzell, W2NAF, the main force behind HamSci, the Ham Radio Science Citizen Investigation, a group of scientists and hams working together to achieve advanced scientific research and understanding through amateur radio activities. To learn more about HamSci, check out their website, hamsci.org. That's hamsci.org. The Rain Report is copyright 1990-2018 Rain. All rights reserved. This hamcast typically updates Saturdays on the rainreport.com. You can hear this weekly podcast Saturday evenings around 9 p.m. Central Daylight Time on Lebanon, Tennessee shortwave station WTWW on 5.085 MHz. Now for all you who couldn't get enough of those pork chop sandwiches at this year's Dayton Hamvention, I'm Will Rogers, K5WLR, still gimping around a bit, but hoping to imbibe in the Xenia Culinary Delights next year, saying very 73 to you all. This is the Rain Report, the weekly audio hamcast of the Radio Amateur Information Network. Keep on hamming!